Good morning. It's thank you, Kathy, for that wonderful introduction, and it's always a welcome. I'm always so glad to come back to preach from God's Word at Pacific Grace. It holds a special place and meaning for me because this was my first ministry after I graduated from seminary, and so I'll always have that special place in my heart. As they say, you never forget your first church. For those of us who remember my family, so Shari is doing well. She still continues to serve at Focus on the Family. She's been there for over 20 years. It's crazy. And those of us who remember Abigail, yes, she's now 8 years old. So time really does fly, and it's true what my parents said, that as soon as you have children, your time really does fly. So this morning, Pastor Keith has invited me to come and share on the topic of mission, and it is appropriate because obviously next month, Pacific Grace, it's having its annual missions conference. And the topic that you'll be coming to in November is missions, making it personal. And so as I reflected on that, I thought, you know, what is more personal than talking on the theme of calling. My role currently is I'm the registrar and admissions officer at Cary Theological College. And prior to that, I was serving at ACT seminaries as well, also in the area of admissions. And so I spent a lot of years counseling people on their sense of call, particularly into seminary studies. However, this sense of call, I think, goes beyond just seminary studies. It impacts a lot of Christians in all areas of their lives, and in particular, today, we're talking about missions. And but I wanted to just take a step back and really delve into this idea of calling. What is it? What is it all about? Is it only for super Christians only? Not that there's such a thing as super Christians. But I'm going to be sharing this morning's message with a couple of new friends of mine. Their names are Philip and Yun Yi, and they are with Wycliffe Malaysia, and are actually friends with Ian Lau, as you all know, is with Wycliffe Canada. And so through Ian, I met Yun Yi and Philip, who are actually going to be here for the next 2.5 years at ACT Seminaries, where they're studying in the same program that Ian did, which was the Masters of Arts in Linguistics and Exegesis. And so in a short while, we'll get to hear their story about how God called them to their specific area of ministry in missions to indigenous peoples. So I want to take a step back as well. So as I mentioned, I'm currently serving at Cary Theological College. So if you're thinking about the name Cary, now first of all, how many of us know who William Cary is? Hence, nobody knows who. Oh my. Okay. All right. History lesson time. And this is kind of why I wonder if I should do this. Okay, so history lesson time. The gentleman on the left and right video here, that is William Cary. William Cary is known as the father of modern missions. And if you were to Google his name, you will discover there are about 11 Bible colleges, seminaries, and theological colleges named after him, one of them being the college that I serve at. But what's really interesting about his life is he actually never attended theological college himself. He didn't go to Bible college, he didn't go to seminary, he didn't go to theological college, and yet he is known today as the father of modern missions. He was actually a shoemaker by trade. But God had given him a sense of call to serve in missions, particularly to the nation of India. So much so that he actually self-taught himself biblical studies, languages, and theology. In 1792, William Carey preached a sermon from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 2 to 3. And based on this text, we now have the most a famous quote from William Carey, which is, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things from God." Well, in 1799, he did attempt a great thing in that him and with two other fellow missionaries, William Ward and Joshua Marshman, known as the Serampore Trio, and sailed to India. And just so you know, Serampore is actually a region of India, in South India. And together, the three of them founded 26 churches, 126 schools, translated the scripture into 44 languages, and produced grammars and dictionaries. They organized India's first medical mission, savings bank, seminary, Indian girls' school, and vernacular newspaper. And at the time, the vernacular language was Bengali. Now, that's what the three of them did. Carey himself was responsible for India's first organized printing operation, paper mill, and steam engine. He also initiated the first English translation of the great Sanskrit epics of the Ramayana and the Mahabharata. The translation of the Bible into Sanskrit was also his work, as was the baptism in 1800 of the first Hindu Protestant convert. Carey's work would spark the entire world to carry out the Great Commission. And yet, if you were to go to England today and to go to his tombstone, it would say, "A wretched, poor, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fail." That's the kind of humble person that William Carey was. As you hear his story, as you hear his legacy, what goes through your mind? Perhaps you're thinking, "Wow, that's great for Carey, but not for me. I could never do what William Carey did." Perhaps, and this is the question I wrestled with, what possessed Carey to do what he did? And I think the answer comes down to what I said at the very beginning, a sense of call. God placed a sense of call in him to go and do missions work in India. And so that's what I'm going to do today. We're going to talk about this sense of God's call in your life, because I think it's a very important aspect of our spiritual life that even Christians today still have questions about, and they wonder about it. And that's what we're going to do. So why don't we just join me in prayer this morning, and then we'll carry on with the message. Father God, I just want to thank you again for my brothers and sisters at Pacific Grace MB Church. Lord, it's such a blessing to see how you have worked in this church through its leadership and its people to do ministry in this area of First Avenue and Renfrew. Father God, we just pray this morning that you would allow Pastor Keith rest, that he's taking the time to restore his spirit and his soul and his body as he prepares for another season of ministry. And Lord, we also pray for the congregation this morning as we delve into this topic of calling, particularly as we prepare for this missions conference. But Father God, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will be upon us as we open our hearts and open our ears and just wait upon your Spirit to be upon us and to teach us and speak to us about this sense of call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I'm about to say, I'm really sorry about this, okay? And you're going to wonder why I'm about to say this. In 2013, there was a song that became quite famous by a young musician by the name of Carly Rae Jepsen. She burst onto the music scene with the hit song. Oh, man. Okay. She hit on the music scene with the song "Call Me Maybe." Now, how many of us have heard that song? Is it going to your mind right now? I'm really sorry. That's why I said I'm really sorry. So it's not exactly the most edifying song, as it defines the promiscuous nature of our modern society. But I also wonder if it reflects our Christian attitude to God's call on our lives. We know that God has our number. So, call me, maybe. As I said, as an admissions counselor and former pastor, I have helped many Christians discern their sense of call. And it's not that they disagree that God has given them a call, but sometimes they wonder, is it true? How do I know when God has placed a sense of call in my life? So I really want to spend some time to clarify what God's call is. That it's not this oogie boogie kind of an idea, but truly it is it has its foundation in Scripture. So, just as we refer to in theology, we refer to the revelation of God in two ways. The first one is general revelation, and then the second one is special revelation. And especially general revelation is basically what you see around you in the world to give you a sense that there is a creator. That's general revelation. And then specific or special revelation is what we refer to as Scripture, because it came to us in a special and unique way. So in the same train of thought, I believe there is a general understanding of call, God's call, and then a specific understanding of specific call. And as I study Scripture and I read through the book of Romans, this is my understanding of what general call is. A general call is all of creation is called to acknowledge and worship the Creator. We read this in Romans chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. We also learn in the next chapter of Romans, all of creation is called to repent and seek forgiveness through Christ. That's Romans chapter 2, verse 6 through 9, and Romans chapter 3, verse 22 to 26. Also, all of creation is called to obey God's commands and proclaim His glory. And that's Romans chapter 4, verse 13 to 24. Does that make sense to you? That in a sense, this is God's call on His creation. We're all called to acknowledge Him. We're all called to worship Him. We're all called to repent and seek forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're all called to obey His commandments and proclaim His glory. That's it. That's the simple, general call that every person on earth has to answer to. But we also see in Scripture this idea of a specific call. And here we have some of the examples that I have pulled out. We have biblical examples of God calling upon specific people to rescue Israel. We see this in the story of the judge Samson as he rescued the people of Israel Philistines. Thank you, Philistines. And then we also have Esther, right, who rescues her nation by going before the king and speaking up for the fact that she is a Jew. We see in Hosea that he is called to marry a prostitute, an example of Israel's sin. We also see the story of Ananias, who had a very specific call to go and heal a persecutor of Christians, essentially Saul. You can imagine what these folks must have felt like, being asked and called upon by God to these specific tasks, this specific calling upon their life. And they expressed their fear, but they also obeyed. So I do believe that God does use specific people for specific tasks for His glory. So here's the thing. If we were to look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, this is the text where Paul teaches the Ephesian church about the gifts of God to the church. And essentially, he says that God has given the gifts of apostleship, prophecy, evangelism, pastoring, and teaching to the church, for the building up of the church. We refer to this in the acronym APEST. He has given us APEST for the ministry of the church. But I want to challenge us to think this a little bit further. I think that if we were to truly use these gifts that God has blessed for the use of the building up of the church, then in essence, we're in a way also in exercising these gifts are then using them for the benefit of society. And so then, in that way, each of us then all have a specific task each and every day for us to follow and obey. What I'm trying to say is we have this general call to acknowledge, to worship, to repent, to seek forgiveness, to obey and to proclaim. But then we all, each and every day, also have a specific call to go and to use these gifts to bless others in our lives. So let's not think about calling as this big, huge thing like Carey, what William Carey experienced. But it starts with where you are at, where God has placed you, in your work, in your school, in your home, and using this, and just using the gifts that He has blessed you with, and exercising your gifts in obedience to the call that He has for each of you. And I know you all know what I'm talking about. You could be at school one day, and God says, and He prompts you in your heart and says, "Hey, see that guy over there? He's sitting by himself. Nobody wants to eat lunch with him. They think he's funny. He's weird. I want you to go and speak to him." Maybe you're in the grocery store, and God prompts you in your heart and says, "See that lady in that line? She doesn't have enough money to pay her groceries. Why don't you go up and offer to pay her groceries today?" It could be as simple as that. So imagine with me. Do you not think that if we used our gifts in this way, it will not make a difference in other people's lives around us? And in that way, it will build up the church. I want to clarify again that the sense of call is just not for the super faithful who receive a specific call. Though it does look that way, and we seek it earnestly because we desire purpose and meaning to our existence. But rather, I believe God is calling those who obey Him in the little thing, in the little things, and then uses them for the greater things that reveal His glory. Said another way, all believers receive a specific call according to our gifts and talents, specific to our created purpose and context, that is revealed and clarified when we obey God faithfully. Let me say that again. All believers receive a specific call according to our gifts and talents, specific to our created purpose and context, that is revealed and clarified when we obey God faithfully. God has a specific purpose for each and every one of us. And that's why He created you. There's only something that only you and you alone can fulfill. I come by this thought as I read through Jesus' words in the parables of the loan money. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. So the main point is, when we start to talk about the sense of call, it's not this big, huge event in your life. It could be, and I'm not saying it isn't. It could be. Maybe sometimes we think when we hear God's call, we expect to see Him writing on the wall or having a great sign in our life. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Well, my thought is that it starts with the little things. When you obey God in the little things in your life, the little promptings of the Spirit in your heart, and as you do that faithfully, on and on and on, eventually, when that quote-unquote big call comes in your life, you know it is God's call. You know that's what you're supposed to do. So that brings us to our text today. And Genesis chapter 12, verse 3-7, and Jonah chapter 1, verse 1-3. And I want to ask us to stand this morning, just to kind of get the blood going a little bit. I think we've all been sitting around a little bit. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1-7, and then we'll read Jonah chapter 1, verse 1-3. The call of Abraham. In chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord has said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be a blessed through you." So Abraham went, and the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." And so he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared before him. And then I'm going to jump over to Jonah, chapter 1, and I'm just going to read from 1 through 3. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. I share these two familiar stories with you because I want to be able to compare and contrast how we respond to the call and what truths can we pull from these stories that can help us in discerning God's call in our lives. So, what we read in Genesis chapter 11 is this. We see that God has acted swiftly in response to man's sin of pride by destroying the Tower of Babel, by giving languages so that everyone would separate. But man continues to ignore him and continues to sin. We are then introduced to Abraham, whom God calls to leave his home, move across the desert of Canaan to Canaan, where he would found a new nation and be a blessing to the call, to the world. You will hopefully agree with me that this is a specific call, which reveals a truth about receiving a specific call from God. In contrast, we have Jonah, who also receives a special call. He is a prophet of God. He has enjoyed the perks that have come with serving as God's mouthpiece. And we hope that this is because he has responded to God daily. However, when he received the call to proclaim the truth to the Ninevites, what happened? He ran. So we have two specific calls, one obeyed, one ran across the hills onto a ship to a land far, far away. Anyway, so here's a truth I think we can extract. When one talks about a calling in your life to a specific task in a specific context, what I see is that one is often called, the scriptures and the examples, one is called to something rather than running away from something. You know, as some of you may know, my wife Shari was a missionary kid. Her parents served on missions. And one of the unfortunate things that happened on the mission field is that when the folks who felt they were called to serve God on mission, really what was happening was they were actually running away from something. And by going on the mission field, it actually hurt their family and their ministry in the long run rather than be a blessing to the people whom they were trying to serve. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, if some of us here today are called to missions, you're often called to it, not you're trying to run away from something here because you don't want to deal with it. Then, when we are introduced to Abraham at the moment that he receives this specific call, and we're hoping and trusting that Abraham has been a faithful believer who has trusted God daily and obeyed him daily. As you read through the scriptures in the verses prior, you'll see that he actually comes from a long line of ancestors who were God-fearers and God-followers, who passed on their faith. If you read the scripture, he's like the great, 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 great grandson of Shem. Who is Shem? Shem is one of the three sons of Noah. Can you imagine being Abraham sitting around the campfire with his parents and his uncles and his aunts, and they're talking about how, oh, you know, when we come from great grandfather Shem, and this is what God did in their lives. He rescued them. You know, he gave instructions to your great grandfather Noah to build this ship. What would that do to you? So he hears all these stories. His faith has been passed on. And he learns about what it's like to live a faith that is fully trusting and obedient to God, because he has seen it, he has heard it through his forefathers. Now, contrast that with Jonah. We also believe that Jonah also benefited from the experience of his Israelite forefathers. But he was also aware of the history between the nations, and in particular, the Ninevites. He held on to bitterness in his heart, and he was unwilling to share God's grace and really wanted to condemn his enemies. Because he knew, well, I'm jumping ahead, but the truth is this. When you're receiving a specific call from God, we need to remember it. We need to share it often so that we can recognize God's call. We understand it. We know what it's like. We hear it. And we don't allow our humanness to stand in the way. Often it's our own humanness, our fear, our insecurities, our bitterness that hold us back from fulfilling God's specific call in our lives. Lastly, Abraham's call was to something greater than himself. He would be the father of his nation, of a great nation. But here's the thing, his wife Sarai was barren. How would this work out? Again, leaning on the faith of his forefathers, he was aware that God could accomplish great things because God was the creator. His job was merely to obey, using the abilities he had to guide his family to the promised land. Now God did not promise Jonah that he would be the father of a nation, but rather he would be used as a mouthpiece to be, in effect, the savior of a nation. But you see, Jonah was well aware of God's promise to extend grace and forgiveness, and he wanted to withhold it. He was mad at God that he was called to share God's promises to his enemies. Here's my last nugget of truth today, biblical truth. God's specific call is not about you, but often something greater than yourself. In fact, it's an impossibility without the power and presence of God. Well, I want to invite Yun Yi to come up at this time. And as I said, she's a missionary with Wycliffe Malaysia, which is in partnership with Wycliffe Canada. And she has graciously agreed to share her story of how God has called her to serve him in this way. And she's also got a presentation for us about the work of Wycliffe Malaysia among the indigenous peoples in Sabah? Indonesia, which is where Ian was as well.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, maybe we can still watch this short clip. It is not the work of Wycliffe Malaysia, but it's some Wycliffe members, probably from the States, who have served in Indonesia. Yeah, and this language group is called Kimyal. This is at a place in Papua, which is just above Australia, and they are having the Bible dedication. Because the Bible of the New Testament has been translated into their language. And this video is taken about 5 years ago. Let's watch this.
Darana nyundi yu buda ayat na gigip memero. Dara memero kum. Po yuk nang na nyundi gerentia omulat lam siyang wene na. Memero puku wene na op kemi lamak. Do wene ani si ani yak lem la buka nyun babi elu lamak. Po memero kum ni omulat lam siyang wene na. Ongwi nyun babi ket sepo. Seni lima po, sumni ni wenena, nundi ibu nisin, mati yut sampai wahyu. Gigi tangkal wenena, wera, yuk simna, igin, gak, igin kong, kiaman.
Come on. kim kendi kiblat na ame.
Yang up ni juga na, nana emi yang kiblam nu nabuka, naya kumpul neri masyarakat, emi yang mabon disinap, disini emi yang se ngingeng ulam upti, nabe ngingeng ulam ni yungo, neri ikin na kiki pelawa biu pertanyaan lama baru sengena, dan ngingeng lam nu nene kene kiki besarok pesingding kayo.
Ane meyong dun abut na ane tatsiwa nun nengi yung upsiyon nun yual kita pa dawapte ambusun ba nun diyuda ay tawip te meyong di yular up nini sinan nun diyuda ay pa nun na ngang tanga di tawap
siga ane sonimi na meyong di yuhu gimyal yuhura ay memero ba anke nun di sari dawip ti wene na nun di mabumok mabak dip siipa tinun na malukol yung gugap sumakto gap wene na nun di yuhura ay nene kesal ba ito. Tinu di mabakat siapa? Sik tina sik teling sik mabakan lagi. Om bata balam sik ba. Sikat nuna penasun. I masak minggu kap sembia sik ba peminang.
Et nak delim na. Sumnen. Emi yang nak ni yang apa? Iplam na. Anasun. Di mana dia ayun ni? Kita lak dek ni ya. Di mana dia ni? Kita nak. Wene ya ko deblao dimande ya ne na de yala ko buka sampai pokoprak na orumbu na
get involved into Wycliffe. When I was 6, my family was still not believers. My mom loves to gamble with her siblings, her non-believer siblings, and she hated her Christian siblings. One day, while my mom was gambling, I had a high fever. It was until that I could not recognize her. Then she got so worried. She sent me to the clinic. The doctor told her, "Oh, her temperature is very high. She could have meningitis. Be prepared that her brain could be damaged. Send her to the hospital immediately." It was at that time my mom started to get worried, more and more worried. At the hospital, my mom didn't know what to do because there was no doctor. And it seems like there's nothing to cure me. Feeling hopeless, she looked up to the window, to the stars, and she said, "The true God in heaven, please heal my daughter. If you heal her, me and my family will go to church." She said this prayer, and God healed me. That's how we started to go to church. From that point onwards, I consciously know that God has healed me. He did not let my brain to be damaged. So I always wonder, why? Why God wants to heal me? Year after year, especially during my birthdays, I ask this question, what's God's purpose to heal me? And I started to think about my own identity. I'm from Malaysia. I'm Chinese, born in Malaysia. But I never feel that I belong to China, and I'm not Malay, I'm not obligated to become a Muslim, and I can get to know Jesus. But I'm in Malaysia, so what's God's purpose in my life? I keep asking this question. Until the year when I was 16, I have done some stupid things and know that I really sinned against God. I started to understand what it means to repent. It was also at that same time I was in a youth camp, and a song was repeated again and again in the camp. It was this song that the chorus is like this. Jesus, oh Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, oh Jesus, I give you my life. It was at that moment I decided to commit my life to the Lord. At that point, there's no thunder, no lightning, and no special miracles happening, but my heart pumped very fast, and I was crying, and I know that this is the Holy Spirit working in me. However, I was only 16. So I continued with my studies, and then I started working and met my husband. Fortunately, he told me that he knew God also called him to serve full-time, but he was unsure what his role would be. So we started to seek God's direction together. In year 2004, we get to know about the work of Bible translation through Wycliffe, and we felt called to this ministry. The next year, we joined Wycliffe Malaysia, and after a year being members of Wycliffe Malaysia, we got married and continued to serve in church engagement. Another year later, we get to know about the ministry of oral Bible storying. It is one of the roles within the translation ministry. We get so excited, and we started attending some training to get equipped. Having known about this ministry, which is translating the Bible into oral form, so that the people can tell God's story through the mouth, word of mouth, we find that God is calling us to move into this direction. So we embarked into a new journey and move on to the field, leaving our home country. Long story short, we were involved in translating the Bible into story form with a few language teams in Indonesia and Malaysia. We were doing that before we start our studies here. After all, God did not suddenly call us to study, nor he suddenly call us to mission. But we know that for this moment, we are at the season to study, to further equip, so that we can serve better for future. But we didn't come suddenly, we suddenly decide to study and suddenly apply. No, it didn't happen that way. We planned for it, and we pray, and we waited for God's timing. At the same time, we were faithfully doing what our roles have been, what our roles are. When the time is right, God showed us, now, go and apply. So we started to apply. But however, I must admit that I struggled with the idea of studying in Canada. I've never been outside of Southeast Asia. You know, Southeast Asia countries are hot and humid. And I'm so scared of cold weather. Everything in Canada is so expensive. I enjoy my role back home as consultant and helping language teams in translating the word. I have joy working with them. But I really struggled. And God affirmed me again and again that he will take care of everything. He will take care of our parents. He will take care of our needs and our health. So don't worry, go. In my youth, I actually learned about three M's in Christian life. The first M is master. Who is your master? Who is the one that directs your life? Each of us have to make our own decision. The second M is mission. Do you have a vision for your life? A mission has to be something bigger than your life, as Pastor Sherman has shared. God called Abraham to something bigger than about Abraham himself. How about you? The third M is mate. Who is your mate? It is important if you are still single, make sure that you find a mate that has the same vision as you, same mission as you. But if you are married, make sure that both of you walk together. These three M's helped me grow a lot and reminded me that God has called all of us to belong to Jesus. God has also called all of us to work because we are created in his image. Maybe maybe God has called you to work in Xinjiang because the place would be a strategic location to evangelize people from all nations due to the Silk Road Economic Belt Initiative, if you know. Or maybe God has called you to be part of a team to serve the homeless in Hastings Street. Or maybe God has called you to minister to the old people who love to hang around in the shopping malls in Vancouver. Maybe God has called you to something else, and I believe that God wants to use all of us. Ask God to get your answer. May God bless all of us. Thank you.